Welcome. So in this segment, we will talk about different types of questions that you might want to design or will encounter when you deal with surveys. I will give you some examples and some terminology so that you don't get lost when throughout the course we will talk about different types of questions. This first one here is a simple question. It has a yes-no answer category, one phrase, no explanations, no special features here. It is, in a sense, the most simple form of question that questionnaires usually have. The examples I'm going to use come from monitoring the future, and so does this simple question here. If you're curious about that survey, you can check out the website that comes with it. It is a survey sponsored by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, just part of the National Institutes of Health, and it is conducted here at the Institute for Social Research at the University of Michigan. Another example from monitoring the future is this question here, which has a running prompt. We call it that. You see, it's a question. There are a couple of different sub-items, as we call them. This particular one on how many occasions, if any, have you used marijuana? And then the first running prompt that we have is in your lifetime. And over here on the right, you see a couple of answer categories. These can be different scales. This is what we call a self-administered questionnaire. It is very nicely formatted. The layout is pretty clear so that people can see where the answer categories are, where the labels are. And throughout the course, we will talk more about how many scale points to choose in those kind of scales and what labels one should be used and how you should think about labeling these kind of questions. The next one here is a closed question. Now, the other ones were also closed, but they were much simpler. Here, we actually have scale points like in the one before, but it's a one-choice question. We have one question: how do you think your own life will go in the next few years? Do you think it will get better or worse? And then a scale to pick an answer. This is in contrast to questions like this one here that are sometimes called mark all that apply, or questions that allow for more than one choice. And this particular question here is a question for race and ethnicity, sort of a mix. That too will be a separate topic in this course. And you can see here that people are allowed, and there are instructions here that mark that to the respondent, to select one or more answer categories. So someone could be Black or African American and white. Easily imagine, maybe if you have parents of mixed race. Here's another example for mark all that applies. This is, again, a question from monitoring the future about drug use. And the question here is, what methods have you used for taking cocaine? And obviously, respondents can pick several or all of these answer categories. One note ahead, this is not a course about data analysis, but if you start converting this kind of questionnaire or this kind of questions into a data set, it is important that you already think ahead how to code this kind of question. Because later on in your data set, it probably would show up as six different variables, one variable, 84.1, sniffing and snorting, and then a yes, no, or 0.1 coded in there for this question having been checked or not. If you don't pay attention to this, then data analysis can be quite complicated afterwards. I'll talk about analysis issue in a separate segment on preparing your analysis plan. Okay, so this question here is what is called a filter question. You see here that the layout is very different. And so let me show you first, this is a different source. This is the British Crime Survey from 2002. There are newer versions up there, but this one is already in the archive and easily accessible for everybody. This is an interviewer administered questionnaire. So you see a lot of code that the respondent doesn't see, but the interviewer does, or if it's automatically programmed into a computer-aided interviewing device, the program can pick up these code words, knows which questions these are, and the like. What is key in this yes-no filtering setting is that the interviewer will read here, apart from anything you have already mentioned, this is in brackets in case nothing was mentioned yet. The question continues, in that time, did anyone get into your house flat without permission and cause damage? So capitalized are words that the interviewer should pronounce. And then there is a yes, no. And here is the hint for the computer program to continue asking follow-up questions to this filter question if this previous question has been answered with yes. So this is what we call a filter question. This has the advantage that respondents don't have to say, oh, this question doesn't apply to me. When they are asked, it shortens questionnaires for people who, for example, in this case, never had any burglary at their house. And it allows, therefore, sort of tailoring of questions to respondents. Now, an interesting side note here, sometimes, and there has been research out there, respondents do clue into this problem and into this questionnaire structure, and they might actually negate a filter question, say no here to avoid the follow-up. There's a little bit of research that I'm happy to report in a separate segment here, not particularly part of the course, but look out on the website and we'll show you results from that particular research. And finally, there are what is called open-ended questions. Those questions are questions like this one here. This is from a customer survey that KTTC in the US has issued. Down here, there's a question, please tell us what you like best about the news on KTTC. And then there's an open field in this particular self-administered web survey where respondents can type in their answers. Again, we have a separate segment which will talk about the design of web surveys in more detail, but as a small hint on that, the amount of answer open-ended text you will get does depend on how big that box is. Respondents do react to that. Okay, so in the next segment, we will talk about bias and variance. Those are the issues I just hinted at, you know, how do respondents vary their answers as a result of how the question is asked, how the layout is created, and what respondents might anticipate the question meaning is, and things of that nature.